Valencia Jordan, pastor of Phillips Chapel CME Church, and I enjoy listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, my favorite talk show host.
Well, hopefully today she will be, because she's going to be here. She's in the studio. Let me say good morning, Nashville, and he arose. And someone asked me Thursday, one of my staff here, am I going to be on the air on Sunday? I said, somebody has to say he arose on the radio in Nashville on Easter Sunday morning. Somebody has to do it. So he arose, Nashville, bright and early. And we're grateful for the sacrifice and immensely grateful to still be standing and for us all to witness another Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, 2019. We're happy to have our guest that'll be on joining us in the conversation here about the significance of this Holy Week and holiday we have been experiencing this Lenten season, and the blessings that come from it. And I'll introduce them in a couple of seconds here. But first, X, you are looking just like an Easter egg hunt over there.
Well, thank you.
You got your festive Easter outfit on today.
That's correct.
Matching and carrying on.
Trying to.
Did your wife help you?
No. Okay. I did this all by myself.
Did you?
I did.
I'm impressed.
Yes.
Your tie matches your shirt,
yes.
Matches your suit. I'm like,
that's
look
right.
At Joe.
Yeah.
Somebody raised you up, right?
There. Yes.
So, your church having a big service today or what?
10 o'clock service.
Oh, okay.
10 a.m.
Just the one, no special.
No, just 10 okay. O'clock and then followed by an Easter egg hunt.
Okay.
For kids.
Okay.
Not what? Easter egg, I meant egg hunt.
Okay. All right.
I don't know why. It just is.
Okay. Well, you know, the church, you can't mix up things, you know.
I don't know why I said, well, I thought it's eggs, I do believe, but I don't know why. But for some reason, I said Easter, because that's what we do on Easter. But
well, Easter egg?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, it was something that has been ingrained in our culture.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, kind of hard, you know, not to say Easter and egg when you're a kid. That's what you want.
Yeah.
Candy.
That's true.
Chocolate bunnies and all the things that you want as a kid. And I know many people have had to go out and buy a bunch of things. I don't know about buying all these Easter gifts and all that kind of stuff. I think that's kind of over the top, you know. Just, I bought the food, okay? That's enough. but to have to go to the store and buy all that stuff, you know, that's a lot. That's a lot. And I know that today's parents are really pressured to have to do all that kind of stuff. But they don't have to unless they start it once, and then you have to do it always. My kids, if they got a little tiny basket, and they were cool with that because they didn't have a choice. They had to be grateful for what they had. So, and my grandkids have discovered that process as well. Now, X, we are very pleased to have Reverend Jordan, and she is looking very beautiful this morning. And so I warned the church that she's going to be looking devastatingly beautiful when she strolls in at Phillips Chapel CME this morning, y'all. I mean, you all, both of you look like you're ready to go straight from here to service. And I'm in a T-shirt and a pair of jeans simply because it says Overcomer, though. Okay. I have a religious theme on my T-shirt. Because I am still preparing my dinner for my family.
That's fine.
So I'm working for Jesus in the kitchen.
I'm sure we both concur and say, come as you are.
Absolutely.
Reverend Jordan, I could come as I am.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
That's our motto. Come
oh, good.
As you are. You
okay.
Don't stay as you are,
right.
But please come.
Okay, that's what's up. Because a lot of people have that pressure. There's so much pressure to spend money and everything connected with the Lord. You have to spend a ton of money, you know, just to feel a connection, and that should not be.
It should not be, and that is not why the church was created, but it has turned to that.
It really has.
But it when really you try has. To stay to the principles, I think people can see the difference.
Amen. Now, I'm going to officially introduce Reverend Jordan in a second. I want to mention a couple of quick things. First, the month of April is winding down, and it is also WFSK's birthday month and our spring fun drive. And it is very important for us to get more names on this list than what we have, because we need to hear from the community. You send us everything in terms of your community announcements, your benefits, your fundraisers, your church programs, your everything. You send them all here, and in order to effectively serve you the way we would love to continue to do, we definitely need the community to step up. In April, we celebrate our birthday. WFSK is 46 years old and still standing, and we feel very blessed to be in the community where the people are on the historic campus of Fisk University. People, that wasn't lofty at all, and we're asking our donors to, if they can, if they're able, to give $1 per year in our birthday bucks fund drive for each of our years of service. And we'll take that $46 and make it do a lot of things up here. And we are blessed to have everything that you see around you, Reverend Jordan. We have it because we fundraised. This wasn't the government. This wasn't rich uncle somebody. This wasn't, it was the people that helped to build WFSK. And I know we call on y'all, but that's, you know, we're nonprofit. That's what we do. And we just need the folks in the community to realize that without you, this station is gone. And that might not mean anything now, but when it's not here, you're going to say, I sure did miss that old station over the Fisk. It sure was. You know, how are you going to do? You're going to miss. So sow some seeds of support in for WFSK. A couple times a year, we do our mass appeal. And we're just grateful for the support we get during the fall drive. But the spring drive is really, you know, something much different when... But you can have options if you want to give $10 a month, and we'll set that up real nice with the Office of Institutional Advancement, and you won't miss the 10, because there's a couple organizations I give 10 to. I give to other people too, y'all. You know, I'm not a woman of a lot of means, but I do like to give some love where I can. So in the organizations that I give my tens to, I really honestly don't miss it. You know, I really don't after so long. And I think if, you know, you have an issue with money, et cetera, that might be an option for you. quarterly, however you do it, go online to WFSKFM.org, or you can call our office during regular business hours at 615-329-8754, or you can mail it to 1000 17th Avenue North, Nashville, 37208, and please make your check if you're going to send one payable to WFSK. Now, I've got a quick church announcement, and this is on next Sunday. I know today is Easter Sunday, but I want to make sure I didn't miss this. St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church next Sunday is having their annual Women's Day celebration, and put that on your calendar for next Sunday at 11. Their guest speaker is Reverend Dr. Deidre Lewis Johnson, and St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church is at 949 T.S. Jackson Boulevard. And that's not this Jackson out here. This is street, not
the street.
Boulevard. Mm-hmm. Okay, where is T.S. Jackson?
Up on the hill from TSU. Where Leonard Jordan is the pastor.
So, because I didn't see that on here. Oh, you know him.
Yes, ma'am.
Could that be your...
No, our daughters went to school together.
Oh.
So I've known him for quite a while.
Okay.
I think he does some business for family members. Yes.
Well, that is beautiful. And so that's next Sunday. But anyway, today I want to formally introduce my guest today. And I'm happy to say that she is a distinguished woman of sports, as well as a distinguished woman working for Jesus. And I am delighted to have Reverend Valencia Jordan in the studios right now. She has served as the Associate Athletics Director and Senior Women Administrator at Tennessee State University since the summer of 2003. Now, many of you that are TSU alum may be familiar with Reverend Jordan, because she has worked in the athletic department for quite some time, and her oversight of volleyball, golf, softball, track, and field programs means she came in contact with a lot of students.
Yes.
And she also came in contact with a lot of parents. Ms. Jordan was involved with the Lady Tigers basketball program for 14 seasons, including the last three as the head coach of the Lady Tiger basketball program at Tennessee State University. So we have a distinguished woman in the studio working for Jesus.
Yes, I am.
And additionally, you are a native of Nashville.
Yes.
And it's not very often you get to meet Nashvillians that are real Nashvillians. I know people say that to you all the time, don't they?
They do. And I didn't realize how unique it was until recently.
Oh, I'm certain.
And people say it all the time, especially in ministry and in athletics. It is rare that you will work in your hometown.
Right.
Or for sure that you will serve God.
That's true.
In your hometown.
That's true.
At your home church.
That is true. And know where everything is and was.
Yes.
Okay, it's changed.
Yes.
And you went to, where'd you go to high school and all that? Did you go to
I went to Hillsboro.
Okay. All right.
And I got my undergrad at Austin Peay. I had my master's from TSU.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm Big Blue.
Yes. Oh, right, totally. Complete and totally. No questions asked. And also, you spent some time playing basketball here at Fisk University.
I spent one season under Dr. She was Coach Kimbrough, Harriet Kimbrough at the time. Dr. Harriet Hamilton. And she remains my number one mentor as a professor at TSU. And so our connection has been strong. And it's just good to have had, you know, my time here, it definitely helped to shape who I am today.
Well, we're tickled to death to have you. And you were appointed the pastor of Phillips Chapel CME Church in 2015. And is that your first appointment?
That's my first appointment as pastor.
Okay.
I had been there since about, it's my home church. It's the only church I've ever.
All right.
But I came into ministry as the associate back in 2005. Mm-hmm. And so both men helped to shape my ministry. And you see me, you know, they change yearly. And
yes.
So I was, you know,
Charles Winfrey Jr., isn't he the money man?
He is the money man.
Okay, that's what I thought, yeah.
The rollover, yes. Yeah. He will get you invested right.
He
will.
I am certain. I'd like to have him put some investment dollars in WFSK, Brother Winfrey. I follow him on Facebook. Anyway, having said that, I see the presence of the gardeners are in the house. my loving couple. I mean, who else would I rather spend resurrection with than the loving couple? The gardeners are here. Reverend Gino.
Thank you.
How are you?
Glad to be here. I'm doing good. How about you?
Oh, y'all look just like, everybody looks like heroes. That's what's up.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
And Mrs. Reverend over there. looking all beautiful this morning. How you doing, girl?
Good. How are you?
I am well. I am well. Got makeup and the whole shebang on this early in the morning. Y'all are killing me up here. I have a lipstick, so I'm trying to partially do it.
Good.
Anyway, Reverend Gino
yes,
Gardner,
ma'am.
Generation Next Church in Murfreesboro.
Yes, ma'am.
And you blessed us so much, you and your wife. Last time that you were here, you know, you were on my popular list.
Oh, look at God. Well, amen. Amen.
Well, we had X reminded me this morning that you were here just as you were beginning the church.
Yes.
You and your wife were here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
And how long has that been?
I forgot when we did that broadcast.
About a year?
It has been a year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going on approaching 2 years. What is it? August, the end of August.
Okay.
We'll be at 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And Murfreesboro, Bradley Academy, we're still there.
Okay.
And but God is blessing us because we are growing. Hopefully we're not in that space too much longer, but we're just letting the Lord do what he has to do.
He will do it, y'all.
Yes, he will.
Now,
yes, he will.
Do you all know each other?
No.
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 Introduce yourselves.
Nice to meet you. Gino, my wife, Corrine.
This is
nice
a
to meet you.
Co-pastor.
Very nice. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Now, we got all the preachers in the house. Now, we're straight now. I want to, when we come back, I want to do a quick informational on the Phillips Chapel for those that are new. I always like to include some stuff for new people because I learn about the churches when you all come in here myself. A little history on it.
Oh, absolutely.
And what's the CME for folks that don't know? I was AME for a long time, so I know about the CME, but everybody that's listening is not me. Reverend Gino and Reverend Corinne, you all can talk about how you found it in Murfreesboro.
Yes, ma'am.
And why you picked Murfreesboro.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And I think that would be an interesting story for the audience. So, Heroes Nashville. Somebody had to tell you bright and early on the radio. You didn't have to hear it on YouTube and Facebook.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you here in Nashville, live and in color. This is the Resurrection Sunday broadcast. What's the 411 style? We're going to take a time out, and we'll be right back.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay?
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
You asked for it and we're bringing it to you this weekend. We're playing all low-down, dirty, lying, rotten, cheating blues songs that you request every week.
My husband started preaching.
That's the late, great Denise LaSalle telling us something that surprised her once.
Some people cheat because they're being mistreated.
And that's Dr. Sandra Foster telling us why people cheat. Or join me, Rosina Bailey, for Blues Time in the City this weekend right here.
Catch Blues Time in the City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Support for WFSK comes from SAG Funeral Home. SAG Funeral Home now has opened their own crematory services. They are also committed to pass on the savings to our customers, providing and serving all communities within a 50-mile radius of Nashville. SAG Funeral Home also provides full traditional funeral services. For more information, contact SAG Funeral Home at sagfuneral@gmail.com. or call 615-244-5044. Visit our website at sagfuneralhome.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/sagfuneralhome. The month of April is not only Jazz Appreciation Month, but also WFSK's Birthday Month and Spring Fun Drive. Show some appreciation for Jazzy 88 this month by making a tax-deductible donation to support Nashville's jazz station WFSK. Donate birthday bucks of at least $46. That's a dollar per year for every year of service to Nashville. Give online right now at WFSKFM.org and click on the word donate. Call us at 615-329-8754 or drop by in person. Your birthday box donation helps us keep the jazz music playing at WFSK. Our goal is 500 people to make birthday box donations of only $46. Remember, go online to WFSKFM.org, call us at 615-329-8754 or drop by our offices during regular business hours. Thank you in advance for supporting Jazz and Jazzy 88. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Mighty Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88, WFSK Historic, Fisk University. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance, also brought to you by SAG Funeral Home. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. This morning is the 411 Show's annual Resurrection Sunday broadcast, He Arose. And let me welcome back our guest pastors in the studio this morning, Reverends Gino and Corinne Gardner of Generation Now Church. Now, not next. Now. I just made that one up, I guess. It's Generation Now, y'all.
Yes,
so don't be looking for something in Murfreesboro that's not that. Okay, look for Now, Generation Now Church.
Yes.
And Reverend Valencia Jordan of Phillips Chapel CME Church. Now, Reverend Jordan, I mentioned that I want to get a little history and information on Phillips Chapel CME, where it's located, you know, how, you know, when was it founded, and a little history. You did say the Winfrey family has been a part of the history of that church for a long time.
Yes, for a long time. We just celebrated 109 years.
Oh, wow. That's
and
great.
So we're excited, and,
yeah.
You know, it's just it's located at 97 Lewis Street,
okay.
In the center of University Court.
Okay.
So, you know, it's one of those places that you could miss it if you don't really know Nashville.
Sure.
So you wouldn't have to know how to navigate into the heart of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're happy to be a beacon of light in a very dark,
yes.
What's considered a dark community. But
it's South Nashville.
Yes.
Okay.
But, you know, in the heart of a location where, you know, people are genuine, their hearts are good.
Yeah.
And so we've been there in doing what God has sent us to do.
Amen.
And so it's just been, it's really a family church. I would say they're about maybe four or five generations of families that really make up the church.
Mm-hmm.
We're always looking to bring in, as I'm sure the other guests here, new members into our church mm-hmm. to grow and seed and do the things that God would have us to do. But I've been there all my life, been CME, mm-hmm. cousins to the AMEs. Christian Methodist Episcopal Church. I'm delighted to.
What's the difference?
Well, the difference is the CMEs really, it's not a lot of difference. As a matter of fact, I want to say that the AMEs have made some changes mm-hmm. recently, maybe not being as rigid in some of their polity, mm-hmm. but. Not a lot of differences, mm-hmm. not some similarities even to the United Methodist Church.
Okay.
But, you know, I think all of the Methodists just have some protocols mm-hmm. that are standard and a lot different than some of the newer churches that are being developed. And that's not to say that old is not the way to do it, but
I
it
hope
does.
Not, or we can't no, read the Old Testament.
I know. I think in this day and age, do it old, do it new. I tell people all the time, old school, new school. Yeah. That's what makes it. Wait, that's what makes it work.
You can't throw out everything old, okay?
Right.
I mean, that's
right.
Really. And sometimes mm-hmm. those discussions happen. Traditional versus, you know, the popping thing at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I know that's got to be a challenge for all of y'all to stay, you know, because you just can't get rid of all the old people because they give.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, we put them little tithing checks in. Amen.
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 And, you know, we're the backbone.
And that is so true. Our bishop, Henry M. Williamson, is he is a go-getter. You may know my presiding elder, Reverend Dr. Ronald M. Poe, who is an educator here
certainly.
In the city. And the oldest CME church is here at Capers, right down the street.
Oh, our friends are nearby Capers.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And so it's really not about the number, and we say that all the time.
Yes.
It's every church needs servants. It needs,
amen.
You know, those individuals who are committed.
Yes.
And who are committed to serving God, his kingdom, those communities,
uh-huh.
because the communities really need, just like you're reaching out to the community to support the radio station.
Yes.
The community, the churches need their community support as well.
Amen, right. Amen. So this, we all have to work together then.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Because I know that for the community of faith, y'all's work is never done. I mean, you know, your phone can ring at any time.
All the time.
Yeah.
Not any time, all the time.
And Reverend Gino, Corinne, jump in into this discussion where we were talking about the traditional versus non. You know, I meant what I said when, you know, you can't throw out the Old Testament because it's old. You can't throw out the New Testament because it's old. So, and as the generations are now, if it's not hip and pop and happening, they not want to participate.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you mean reading from this dusty old book? What you mean, you know? So how do you all translate that back to them that this is the foundation?
Mm-hmm. We keep it very simple. I think that the gospel in and of itself can, some people get lost in it. So what we try to do in our teachings is keep it very simple and plain
mm-hmm.
and relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Those aspects kind of bridge and bring in, because my wife is raised AME, was raised AME. I was raised Southern Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got married, we were in an Apostolic Pentecostal church for 14 years.
Y'all went around the world, didn't
you? Went around the world and back. Went around the world and back. And so we have a lot of base, and I mean that in foundational structure of the scriptures. So we teach that, but we've been able to, because I'm 38, my wife is 35. And we're able to connect it
mm-hmm.
in a relative sense, but still give them the base of the Bible. Bible. So Old Testament, all from Genesis all the way down to Revelation, we can really connect the dots. And that's the biggest thing about
it. Do they get it?
They do. Absolutely. They do get it. Okay. They do get it. We have a lot of college students. We have graduates, not students, graduates. So they have degrees and they get all these, they make more money than us.
Yeah.
And,
amen.
And I praise God for that. Yeah. And so they don't, they, you know, if you come to, you know, they're new in learning the scriptures and the faith. So it's like we give them too much. We give them the Bible, but we just break it down and masticate it. We just chew on it a lot longer so they can get all the flavor, all the essence and everything about
that's,
it.
That's what's missing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these some of the stuff in a capsule. People having a hard time. It is in a capsule. I mean, you know, I'm like, I got to have some, you know, potatoes is okay sometime, but give me something else to go with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I just think that people are hungry, and that's maybe part of the process of having difficulty with the application process.
Mm-hmm.
And Reverend Jordan, when I'm talking about the application, I mean, thou shalt not kill. Can't get any plainer than that. Mm-hmm. But folks is picking up guns and shooting and killing every day. Thou shalt not lie. And we have a president of the United States that can't tell the truth from one day to the next or from 1 hour to the next. So the application process is where the ball is dropping. How do you address that at your church?
And I think that's so true. And I don't consider myself, I'm probably out of the box compared to most traditional pastors.
Oh.
And so you might see me. So I really started out in youth ministry, women's ministry, and I would still say that is, especially being on a college campus for almost 30 years now, that's the heart of who I am. But it does make a difference being relevant and making things plain so that and obviously ministering to youth, I learned that early, and it's not very different. And we know you can't teach the Bible in a day in a Sunday.
No.
So you know, a lot of it is situational. But they know if I'm at TSU, I'm at PC, I'm going to keep it real.
Okay.
And so those things that are going on that need to be addressed according to the word, we can do it. But it's just, you know, it's the blueprint that we live by. But you have to be able to show people, you know, what it says and how it applies to the world in which we live.
Right.
And so otherwise they will get discouraged because they see what they see, especially among some leaders. But I think at the end of the day, for me, I just want them to know that I'm human too.
Yeah.
And I understand the stresses of this world.
Yes.
I understand. But let's see, you know, let's pull out the nuggets in this book that we can, you know, keep entrenched in our souls so that we stay anchored.
Yes.
And so just do that. And you know, we do that in different ways.
Sure.
I mean, yesterday they had me doing the Easter egg hunt with the kids inside, so it just matter, you know. I'm equal opportunity. It doesn't matter.
Go ahead. You raise a relevant point there, because you mentioned something that we dabbed in either this past Wednesday with Pastor Rudy or a week ago when we talked about.
You mean Adonis?
Or maybe it's Adonis Lindsay. Maybe it was him. When we talked about the church in terms of some of the church missing out on the teachable moment because of what we see going on in the highest office in the land, and not just the black church, but also the evangelicals, all those who are not standing up on principle, we are sort of shooting ourselves in the foot. I hate to use that analogy, but you know, we're teaching, we're supposed to be teaching. I say some because not all, but some, because we have youth, we have persons who may not be as antiquated with the Bible as they were saying, who are coming into the church trying to get an understanding, and they're seeing this behavior in the land, and they're going, wait a minute.
Well, and that's and that, I was going to...
If it's not being addressed, right. Yeah, we're going to have a problem.
Well, and let me ask you, Reverend Corinne. Mm-hmm. Now, as 35 years old, and you have a set of principles in a guidebook, you know, our blueprint for life.
Right.
It says a lot about what we should not be considering or doing. Mm-hmm. And everybody around you is doing everything.
Right.
Doing the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to hold up that bloodstained banner when everywhere you look, there's piles and piles of mess going on and, mm-hmm. you know, violence is at an all-time high now. And particularly in this area, it's been amazing to me how Nashville has changed. What's the challenges that you have in addressing that to the congregation at Generation Now and in instilling in your own children?
That's so good that you asked that. We were just having a conversation with our children last night mm-hmm. about some issues going on in school. You know, Pastor Gino and I, we were youth presidents for many, many years at our previous ministry before we even started thought about pastoring.
Sure.
But I think the most important thing is just being transparent.
Right.
Being transparent, letting the people of God know that, like Pastor said, we're humans too.
Yeah.
We go through some of the same things that they're experiencing, and we're not, you know, numb to the fact that these things are going on in the world.
Yes.
But staying rooted and grounded in the scriptures is key, and just living a transparent life before the people. Because
yeah.
I think a lot of times when people think about pastors, they think for some reason that we're perfect and that, you know, we don't go through anything, we don't experience, and we don't get upset, we don't get mad, we don't get frustrated. When that's a lie, we do. If the truth be told, we experience everything that everyone else experiences in the body. But God just holds us to, a higher standard because we're leaders. But just, you know, keeping that open and transparent communication with the saints to let them know that we see what's going on, we mm-hmm. understand, but this is what we're going to live our life according to the scriptures, and this is how we're going to apply the scriptures to our life in a transparent yet practical way.
Yeah.
You know, we like to keep things simple. We don't like to be way up here over the people's head because we want them when they come to leave different, to leave changed, and know that, hey, I came here and got something, not leave like, well, what did we just do?
Right.
Or
at least know that somebody cares.
Right.
Because that seems to be a lot of what people are experiencing right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, suicide's up. A lot of things are up. And, you know, that's not a good thing to me. I've been in this business a long time and covered news for more than 40 years. And it's not good when everything is up. Suicide is up. Murders are up. Robberies. I mean, just everything is up. Children are stealing cars like candy bars, y'all.
Wow.
Everything has gone up. And the statistics. So I don't know. I'm deeply concerned about some stuff.
Yeah.
I know.
That's sort of what I was alluding to. Because with the youth that I'm encountering, it's sort of, you know, they see the behavior.
Yeah.
Even if they don't follow the news, they know what the president is doing. It's everywhere. And it's our job to articulate in a way, the wages of sin are death. And trying to communicate,
but
that's the problem. I know what you're getting ready to say, and that's exactly what I'm talking about.
The reason why I'm saying that is because
I know exactly what you're getting ready to say.
Plays out in their neighborhood is death, and it doesn't
there
seem
it
to have an impact on them at all.
And this has made
and
it
no
worse.
Consciousness.
This has made it worse.
So when we come back from
there,
as
the body of Christ, we have a challenge.
So when we come back from the break, that is shall be.
There
the point at which we have the discussion.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have the faith leaders in the studio.
Why do I need to go to church? Why do I need, because I see it on my block, even the president.
Yeah.
So what relevance, what good is God going to do me?
Well,
and that's where we are.
Does the president go to church is the question.
that's another conversation.
Yes,
but I'm just saying, that's our challenge.
Let's take the break. Because, see, I know you. I know him.
I'm just saying.
I know, because, see, I know him. He won't sit up in here and preach and know.
No.
It's break time.
No.
No, wait till we come back.
That's irrelevant. Yeah.
Because I got to get their opinions. They can't wait to talk.
I know.
Anyway, we're getting discussion, a good one this morning. But the crux of today is Resurrection Sunday. And we're just, you know, kind of scooting around a little bit, but we are going to go straight to that in the 8 o'clock hour to some scriptures and what Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, is all about, Holy Week and the experience, and talk about really what that means from our guest pastors in the studio this morning. Let's take a quick time out, and we'll be right back.
To give your opinion today, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance. We're calling all vendors for the upcoming Fisk Food and Music Festival on Saturday, June 29th. We're accepting applications right now on a first-come, first-served basis for food and non-food vendors with reasonable rates for early birds. The Fisk Food and Music Festival is the place to be in the good old summertime for outstanding music performances in a family-friendly atmosphere on the Grove. Free admission and free parking. Enjoy the Thomas Kane Band, trumpeter Ryan Montano, all the way from L.A., saxophonist Donald Hayes, and headlining our annual Fisk Festival is number one recording artist Ben Tankard. For more information and details about the upcoming Fisk Food and Music Festival, visit our website at WFSKFM.org or give us a call at 615-329-8754. The Fisk Food and Music Festival, Saturday, June 29th. Support for WFSK comes from SAG Funeral Home. SAG Funeral Home now has opened their own crematory services. They are also committed to pass on the savings to our customers, providing and serving all communities within a 50-mile radius of Nashville. SAG Funeral Home also provides full traditional funeral services. For more information, contact SAG Funeral Home at sagfuneral@gmail.com. or call 615-244-5044. Visit our website at sagfuneralhome.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/sagfuneralhome.
On the next Jazz Night in America, South Africa's forgotten jazz history with music by Abdullah Ibrahim.
The only reality is a dream, because everything that you see in reality started with a dream.
I'm Christian McBride, and that's on the next Jazz Night in America. Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
Support for WFSK comes from National Shows 2, presenting Kenny G at the Ryman on Saturday, June 22nd at 8 p.m. In a recording career that spans almost three decades and 23 albums, Grammy Award-winning saxophonist Kenny G has grafted elements of R&B, pop, and Latin to a jazz foundation, solidifying his reputation as the premier artist in contemporary jazz. Kenny G at the Ryman, Saturday, June 22nd at 8 p.m. For tickets and details, visit Ticketmaster.com. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Oh, hey, it's cute.
My light is on, y'all.
We were in there having a discussion about coffee, y'all. You know, she, Reverend Corinne didn't get to make hers.
Oh.
I'm new school. I like sugar.
Did she get a check?
But see, she doesn't know this. We got the good cream. We didn't buy the cheap stuff.
International?
Yes, international delight. We didn't get the Kroger brand. I said, we're going to have to step up off of this and get some real cream.
Did she get it?
No, because he told her we didn't have any sugar. We got 10 pounds of sugar in there. But this, you know, I'm telling you, when you put this in, you don't need any sugar, do you, Dina?
How many teaspoons?
I just like sugar. Technically, you really don't want no sweetener in there.
You like lady? Kareem?
Sir.
How many teaspoons?
I probably need about.
Can you throw a couple
of teeth? No, don't you put that. She'll be talking 100 miles an hour right here.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, X can, right quick. Yeah. He's married. He knows how to do it. You know, you guys ought to be. If your husbands aren't trained, something's wrong.
Oh, bye bye.
I like a little bit of coffee with my sugar. I like mine.
She know I make the coffee all the time.
Right.
She know.
I know. That's how you know she's smiling all the time. You think I don't know? I've been around.
He said you know.
I heard. But anyway, we had to digress, y'all. Because Christians, we do, you know, we have to wind down sometime like everybody else.
Right.
Because we're human. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, we're talking about a serious subject, but, you know, I feel blessed to be alive and kicking.
Amen.
And I try to live every day like that. And I'm happy to have our returning guest in the studio, that is Reverend Gino and Kareem Gardner of Generation Now Church, Murfreesboro, and Reverend Valencia Jordan of Phillips Chapel CME Church here in Nashville, in South Nashville. And, he needs to cut you on over here. And that's his side, not your side. Thank you, X. Okay. You got you doing double duty today. I'm going to have to increase your pay in heaven. Because on earth, I can't help you, son. I cannot help you. But anyway, we are having an insightful conversation before the break. The subject that we were involved in, and I know everybody has to deal with in so many ways, is when you're dealing with young ones that seem, I call it hollowed out. There's a missing consciousness or a fear of reprisal or anything. I don't know exactly to put my finger on it. Doesn't seem to bother them to see murders and crimes and participate in them. And, it just doesn't have an impact. It doesn't seem to have an impact. If it does, it's not stopping anything. So when you all are working in the communities that you work in, how are you impacted by this, and what is the messaging that, you know, because sometimes, you know, people going to cry at the funeral, and then they're going to pick up, right up, and all, what was it, 21,000 people at Nipsey?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, of them 21,000, they was weeping and crying and wailing. Mm-hmm. And then some of them will go right back out and cut right up again.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, this stuff is not having an impact on people like I think in a way it should. And it just, I don't know if it's a hollowed out thing or I don't know how to describe it. So, Reverend Jordan, you're directly in the community and South Nashville and the heart and soul of it. Are you encountering people there that are dealing with issues of, shootings and insecurity and we're not feeling safe at home?
Well, we are in the heart of a lot of violence that goes on. Mm-hmm. I can't say that a lot of those individuals are actually members, so it doesn't directly impact us, mm-hmm. but it does indirectly impact us.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most recent shooting just a couple of weeks ago, and as my mom informed me, I could see the church van on the news report, mm-hmm. And so we recognize where we are. Mm-hmm. We do the best that we can to stay safe. I'm always prayerful about the community and the things that these individuals experience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all answer to what is going on. I do believe that some individuals have grown immune to to the violence.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that there are some individuals who really want to escape it. They want a means by which they can live a productive life. And that's what the church is for. We can't, it's just like they say, you can't save everybody.
True.
But save the ones you can. And so we have to be consistent in who we are. Be true to who we serve.
Mm-hmm.
So that the ones who are really, you said earlier, the ones who are really hungry for change, the ones who thirst for something different than mm-hmm. what they've experienced,
right.
to be available to them. And so it's tough. I'm sure, like my co-pastors here, have gone to funerals mm-hmm. that have been very disheartening.
Yes.
And you just, you know, you just pray that you don't have to do it very often.
Mm-hmm.
You hear the reports. I think you mentioned suicide and different things
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think in society that have increased.
Sure.
And so that's for churches all over the land.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just South Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we have to have a greater conscience in terms of what it is we can do.
Yeah.
What, you know, we can't be so high and mighty that
true.
We don't recognize these things are going on.
That's true.
And so that's why, you know, we come in and, you know, I make sure I wave to the neighbors and,
yeah.
and you know, I'm not naive to know that there are a lot of illegal things transpiring right outside of our doors,
mm.
across the street, on
mm.
the corner. Mm. But we do what we can to proclaim God's word and his message for us in that location.
Yeah. Now, aren't you near a couple other churches over there too? Like
St. Luke is at the very end of the street. It's like at a dead end.
Okay.
And then Mount Arid is on the corner of Fairfield.
And then there's one on Lafayette, Reverend Brian's church, Pastor Brian. That was his last name.
Is that Mount Arid?
No, that's the one that used to be a little strip mall. And then
It's near the Dollar General, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's several churches, right?
And
right
it started
there.
Out as a storefront, now it's big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can't think of the name of it. So are you all connected together when things happen or not?
We haven't been as connected as I think we should.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke recently with some deacons at Mount Arid. Just, you know, we're just talking about the changes in the community.
Oh, yeah.
And it has, believe it or not, it really has gotten worse than it was. Over time, we've seen a steady decline. And so we're just trying to collectively say, what can we do to help things to get better? We attended a community meeting, myself and a couple of my trustees and stewards. We want to know what is going on in that community, mm-hmm. the changes that are being made. We know that the city is about to do some developmental things.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that impact the people? How does that impact our church?
Yeah. Well, and I will tell you, that strip from Cameron School down is disgusting. And the city ought to be shamed. No wonder people don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is absolutely disgusting. The property owners, I'm amazed that they're allowed to keep it looking like that. I mean, it's just totally amazing. I was stuck in traffic on Lafayette.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you really got a chance when you're sitting in the car and you're inching along to see how the decline and the decay is unacceptable, and that's a major thoroughfare. And right across the street is public housing. So those the people have to look out their window every day and see all this decay. I mean, it's just deplorable. And no wonder there's no upliftment. You know, there's they can look out the window and see it looks like one of those old neighborhoods from back after the riots in the 60s. I mean, it looks bad. It looks terrible.
It does. And one thing I do want to say is we partner with in a One Church, One School initiative with Napier Elementary, and one of the things we try to do with the administration there is to find out at the beginning of the school year,
yeah.
We'll do a back-to-school gift drive to those students. We try to do donate food, different things mm-hmm. that we can, because it's tough, but I would say that a lot of those people, they don't choose to live that way.
Yeah, of course not.
Many don't have a choice, but I think the city needs to reevaluate its commitment.
Absolutely.
And we'll see. I've heard what they said will be done, but we're just prayerful that it will be done for the good of the people.
If you are living around filth and trash and broken stuff, you have to be some kind of strong to feel good about the wake up in the morning, skipping in my to my loo, and feel good about. I mean, you just
have to feel some kind of good about going to our church that has to go no matter what direction you
come
from.
That's true. You got
to
go
through. We have to go
through that.
And quite often, I drive all the way down Murfreesboro Road
yeah.
with Ed. And so it's amazing what I see before I even get to the doors of the church.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, as long as we're located there,
yeah.
that is our home. And the church, if you've seen it, is very unique
yes.
to sit at that corner.
Yes, ma'am.
And it's well kept and it's you know, it's a beautiful church.
Y'all are the bright light in
and
the neighborhood.
And so it's...
They are.
And
they
so
are.
You know,
truly.
So... But,
yeah.
I mean, literally, you go 2 or 3 feet, and it's just like
Jesus.
You're in another world. Literally,
yes.
another world.
And that's how I felt. I'm like, hold up. Is this the gentrified city of Nashville where everything is looking beautiful and all that popping roses and everything? And then I see this. Oh, this. Who's the council person? Mm. Let's get that one on the show.
Okay. Gotcha.
Because I'm like, this is disgusting. And the property owners ought to be shamed. And how come there's no laws to address that? And, you know, just sometimes that stuff wears people's spirits down.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a heaviness, you know. And I'm like, I feel it. I'm just driving through here. I couldn't live in this. I couldn't stand it. I couldn't take it. And, you know, because there's a lot of things that go on in that four square miles.
A lot.
Yeah, a whole lot. And y'all have your work cut out for you over there.
Oh, absolutely. It's you know, they say it's a mission field. It's also a minefield.
Yeah, oh,
and
yes,
so
it
you
is.
Have to be careful how you navigate.
Yes.
But, you know, we've been very, very blessed to do the work that we do in spite of the
yeah.
conditions of where we are.
Reverend Gino, let's get some comments from you on what we've been discussing on I call them hollowed out young people. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a descriptive way. What do you encounter?
A lot of my work is day-to-day with the as a recruiter, so... I'm an Army recruiter, and I deal with a lot of high school students, and a lot of them really don't see society like we see it. They just like kind of hollowed out. So,
yeah.
So what I do is I throw dynamics at them, and I
okay.
put it in their face, and I said, you know, and I ask direct questions
okay.
because I'm from the city of Chicago. So that is something that I grew up around.
No sense of beating around the bush.
No beating around the
okay.
bush because
okay.
society isn't. Going to play
no, it
the
isn't.
Court systems and the judicial
yeah.
system,
no, it's not.
The police in the city.
Yeah,
they're not going to play with you, so I'm not either. So
yeah.
answer this question for me: are you this, this, and this? Is this going on? How is this? So when I deal with teens directly, I had a situation just at work the other day. One guy came in the office, said he wanted to join the Army. I said, when's the last time you smoked marijuana? He said, yesterday.
Oh, wow.
I said, okay, got it. So what it is that sometimes I can discern because of the spiritual. I'm a spiritual being, so I can discern and read, and I can see things, and I know what questions to ask. And there's one of the recruiter buddies next to me. He's a new recruiter. I've only been doing it not even a year, but because of the Holy Ghost, I can intertwine my job and outreach. He said, man, how did you know to ask that question? I said, I just asked it. It was God. Yeah. I don't, you know, I knew that he had something going on. And I had another situation like that on my job before. With another young lady smoking marijuana, and I told my coworker, I said, ask her if she's still using drugs. And he said, what? He said, I said, ask her. He went to ask her, and she's like, yeah, I'm still smoking. He's trying to put an arm in. You cannot be on any illegal substance. Right. Join him in. So direct, but it's Holy Ghost that gives us the intuition to really be able to engage people accurately.
And I'm glad the person has told you the truth.
And can I say something to that?
He could have lied. Yeah. They do lie.
And can I say something to that right there? Mm-hmm. Thank God that you are in a place and in a position to be there for that, because a lot of our youth today is recreational. And if you flunk that drug test one time, you're done. But you being there to give them a roadmap, an opportunity to sort of make a change is paramount, because that could be the difference between life and death for them and getting out of that community, community that they're in. That's so praise God for you.
Amen. Now, we're going to take a time out. This is our Resurrection Sunday. And we just, you know, we're giving God the glory today in a multiplicity of ways. But when we come back from the break, we are going to talk about a little scripture for you this morning to take along with your morning and your day. So, Nashville, don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.